The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the April issue 2021 of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to begin on page 8, Who's Who in Sports, and we're going to be doing our final third row. And we have Jewel Lloyd, Seattle Storm, the WNBA guard. Her height is 5'10". She was born October 5th, 1993, and her hometown was Lincolnwood, Illinois. Lloyd won her second WNBA title in 3 years in 2020, averaging 15.5 points and making 39% of her threes. She was the first pick in the 2015 WNBA draft after a stellar career at Notre Dame. Lloyd is a vocal advocate for people with dyslexia. She was diagnosed with a learning disorder at age 12. Did you know? Lloyd was given the nickname Gold Mamba by Kobe Bryant. In Game 3 of the WNBA Finals, she debuted a pair of custom gold Nike Kobe 5s. Next, we have local Eagleston, Texas Longhorns outside hitter. Her height is 6'2". She was born November 13th in 2000. Her hometown is Brentwood, Tennessee. As a junior, Eggleston led Texas with 231 kills in 14 games as the Longhorns finished the fall 2020 season undefeated and ranked number one in the country. She was named Big 12 Offensive Player of the Week the first 3 weeks of the season. Off the court, Eggleston is the president of the Texas Student Athlete Advisory Committee. Did you know the Longhorns have made the NCAA tournament 36 times in the event's 38-year history? And finally, we have Connor Hellebuyck of the Winnipeg Jets. He's the goalie. His height is 6'4". His weight is 207 pounds. He was born May 19, 1993, and his hometown was Commerce, Michigan. Following a season in which he led the NHL in shutouts with 6 and was second in victories, 31, Hellebuyck was named the 2019-20 Vezina Trophy winner as the league's top goalie, becoming the first Jet to win the award. As a sophomore at UMass and Lowell, he won the Mike Richter Trophy as the best goalie in college hockey. Did you know? The Jets moved from Winnipeg to Phoenix in 1996, but the city got a new team in 2011 when the Thrashers moved from Atlanta. Now we'll move on to football in page 34. X Factor. Derrick Henry has a habit of taking over games real and virtual. Derrick Henry conducts himself playing Madden the same way he conducts himself in the backfield. While others talk, he quietly takes the ball or controller and makes a play. When the pandemic forced the 2021 Pro Bowl to be an online affair headlined by a celebrity game of Madden, Henry was one of the two AFC players alongside Deshaun Watson tapped to join a team with Keyshawn Johnson and Snoop Dogg. With his team trailing 26-6 at halftime, Henry grabbed the controller and quietly began to march down the field. Team NFC's Marshawn Lynch complained that it was so quiet he couldn't even tell who was playing for the AFC. "He ain't talking," said Snoop Dogg. "He's going to get it done." And he did, hitting his Titans teammate A.J. Brown deep in the end zone. "You feel me?" Henry said into his headphone mic as the camera showed Lynch speechless in disbelief. Lynch, who perfected the interview non-answer, should know all about letting one's play speak for itself. He also knows about running through entire teams of defenders. Henry does plenty of both. He recorded just the 8th 2,000-yard rushing season in NFL history in 2020 when he ended up with 2,027 yards and 17 touchdowns. Known for his posterizing stiff arm, he's a throwback to an era when backs dominated, but he's also an entirely new kind of player, built like a linebacker with the breakaway speed of a kick returner. Every so often, a player comes along with such a rare combination of skills that makes them unfair in a video game. Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl, Michael Vick in Madden 2004, and now Henry with his 99 stiff arm and 92 speed ratings in the latest Madden 22 update. "I think Madden did a great job of creating me in the game," Henry says. "I always get solid feedback from people who play with the Titans and me in the game." All that's left for the Offensive Player of the Year is to lead his team to the Super Bowl and officially cement his status as the NFL's final boss. In the meantime, he's got some advice for all you who would play as Tennessee in Madden. Stretch play to the right or stretch play to the left. I will never let you down. Here it shows Henry doing his famous stiff arm on page 34, working stiff. Henry's punishing stiff arm is just one of the skills that makes him so dangerous in Madden. I play as the Titans every now and then. I don't like to play with them too much because I like to give my opponent a fair chance. Moving on to page 36, next gen, hexes and O's. Huddle, huddle, foul, and fumble. If on my cover ye appear forever cursed, be your career. Ouch, my hamstring, says number one. Ah, oh, this looks like strep throat. Oh, I'm coming out of retirement to play for the Jets. Ouch, my shoulder, said Brett Favre. Sports Illustrated, and to a lesser extent, its far superior spinoff, SI Kids, has been blamed for years for cursing athletes by putting them on our covers. We get explained that these curses are self-fulfilling prophecies. Athletes often make magazine covers when their careers can only go downhill. Instead, we'll blame the real culprits, Madden covers. How else can you explain Peyton Hillis's strep throat or 2011 or Eddie George's bobbled pass in 2000 playoffs? Question answer. NBA 2K's Mike Wang. With 400,000 Twitter followers, NBA 2K gameplay director Mike Wang clearly has gamers hanging on his every word. So we asked him to say a few more for us. How will the new generation of consoles affect the game? Every new console launch for us gives us the ability to dream bigger. One of the main things we're always talking about is limitations with animations. But we've been doing for years is motion capturing all of the movement in the game. The pie in the sky idea is to remove that limitation and have a game that can kind of animate itself. Next question. How do you balance the desire to make the game realistic with the ability to make it arcade style? For so long, our only goal was to replicate the NBA game as everyone knows it, and that's still our main goal. But we've introduced some strange things in the game, like trampoline mode. We make a park mode, the city. The gameplay there is a little more over the top. We're doing things that we're hoping can kind of, well, stretch what people know of playing basketball. And I think what's interesting is we've almost created some moves. We see these mixtapes from kids learning moves from 2K, and I think that's really cool that we can influence the real game of basketball by imagining new things on our side. Next question. Do players complain to you about their ratings? I don't have to shoulder much of that grief that goes most to our community managers. I don't think any NBA player has ever been happy with his rating. When I first got into the industry, the professional athletes that I had worked with, none of them were gamers. But now they're all kind of big kids who grew up on 2K. So they all love the game, and they're all passionate about it. And it's made us almost kind of have to step up our game because they play it all the time, and they want to be represented accurately. Next question. You have to please NBA pros and NBA 2K pros. How does esports affect making the game? It's basically on the forefront of everything we think about. Are we introducing a new mechanic to the game that's going to add or take away from that skill gap? Is it going to add randomness? Because that's going to be bad for esports. So we've lost some of the luxuries we had in the past when we could make any game we want. There are professionals now for whom this is their living. So we have to think about that actively. But I think the loss of randomness and the introduction of more user skill has been a great positive. And final question, how does designing an NBA game affect your experience as a fan? It's made watching basketball games very different. When I'm watching a game, I'm always visualizing how we can replicate this with something in the game. I think that's changed the way I've watched basketball games that's live, that's pickup games or games on TV. I'm still a fan, but a part of work will always seep in. How to bear your older sibling in 2K? I think the best advice is to just play. I wouldn't jump online if you're real new to the game because it can be brutal. There are people who live and breathe the game, and they will not let you let you up on you, let up on you. Maybe just play against the A1 in a lower difficulty. We have a mode called 2KU that does a lot of teaching and it throws prompts at you. But there's really nothing to replace practicing and getting time on the sticks. There's a lot of good YouTubers too. The day our game releases every year, there's hundreds of videos of the best moves, the best attributes, everything. Next we have soundbites. What's it like to voice a video game? Doris Burke of ESPN and 2K fills us in. Trailblazer, the first woman to serve as a full-time NBA analyst, Burke also called digital action, including the virtual exploits of players such as Portland's Lillard. You've been providing commentary in NBA 2K for a long time. Are you ever recognized for your virtual work as opposed to your actual commentary? I'm taken aback by the amount of times where the first thing a fan will bring up with me is the 2K game. I will tell you, I've only seen and heard myself. I'm not a gamer, but I do marvel at how many people will talk to me about the game first and then transition to ESPN. Where do the actual recording sessions, where do you do them? Well, I first started with the game years ago, and what used to happen was I would fly to California for 3 to 4 days at a time and record in the studio that they had set up out there. But now they've advanced to the point where they can send studio equipment to my home. You're given prompts and cues, but are you actually watching anything? No, I'm not watching anything. That must make it tricky to describe the action. They do an incredible job of putting you in a space where you feel like you're in an NBA arena and you are calling a live game. And it's your job to speak and deliver content on the game the way you would deliver it on ESPN. So if there's an exciting play, you would naturally raise your voice and you would try to feel the same excitement. Is it exactly the same? No. But it's about putting yourself in the mind space of, okay, it's Portland versus Oklahoma City in the 2019 playoffs. And Damian Lillard is about to drain that three-point shot from the hash mark. And so you try to envision that in your mind's eye as you're recording. You said you're not a gamer. Have you ever tried playing to see how you look? I have seen myself on the game in a couple of different ways. I've given it to my son, and he showed me what I looked like and sounded like. I will say what I do find funny is a number of my friends or colleagues who will send a random text out of nowhere saying, I can hear you in my living room right now because of my children. As a non-player, do you think the game is good for the league and for the fans? NBA fans are passionate. Basketball fans are passionate. You know something is successful when the actual NBA players are invested in the game. Damian Lillard was psyched to be on the cover of NBA 2K. And to me, if you're the NBA or you're a player, you're thrilled at the engagement and that people want more content. Next, we have NASCAR for one of racing's most famous bloodlines. Mario Kart is a family tradition. Race car driver Kyle Busch might seem like an unusual celebrity partner for Nintendo, even given his kid-friendly cars adorned with giant M&Ms or Skittles. But NASCAR's Candyman has been competing in Mario Kart longer than he's been racing real vehicles. He and his brother, fellow driver Kurt Busch, started with the original game for the Super Nintendo. We wore the controllers out, Kyle says. Before you ask, he's a Yoshi guy. I like the speed of his acceleration, and yes, he thinks being a pro driver makes him better in the game. But his biggest competition these days isn't NASCAR rivals, but his son, Brecton. They've set up the latest version of the game for the Nintendo Switch, Mario Kart Live, home circuit, which uses physical RC cars on a custom course in their living room. Brecton, who is already racing real live go-karts, has inherited his dad's competitiveness. That means Kyle sometimes has to throttle down to keep his gaming buddy. Yeah, there's been a couple of times when I've had to roll over for him, but I'm going to draw the line in the sand one of these days. More games we'd like to see. Snowballers, the game. We're not above self-flattery. A couple of issues ago, we wrote about video games we'd like to see. Spoiler alert, none of them have since been published or, as far as we know, even put into production. That's fine. We'll keep laying these golden eggs until EA, 2K, and the rest wise up and offer us $1 million. Here are three more surefire award-winning titles, starting with Snowballers, the game, based on that NBA comic we do every December. If you're a new subscriber, this page is probably really confusing. Maybe go to the library and check out some old bags. extreme sideline reporter. The life of the television reporter is not as glamorous as it seems. They deal with the combined pressures of not messing up on live TV and interviewing players who are often out of breath and in a bad mood. That's to say nothing of the perils of a stray ball. In this simulator, you must overcome stale hot dogs, technical difficulties, and Greg Popovich to nab the ultimate soundbite. Thin Ice Hockey 2022. Thin Ice Hockey 2022. This season, the NHL embraced its pond hockey roots by playing games on scenic Lake Tahoe. We're not saying we want to see hockey players fall in a freezing cold lake, but maybe we'd like to see hockey players fall in a freezing cold lake. In a video game, coming out of nowhere to receive a pass and score a goal is clutch. Coming up from under the ice to receive a pass and score a goal is legendary. The best of the rest. Page 41. You already know whether or not you're going to play FIFA. Instead, here are four games you may not have heard of, but should check out. Football Manager, the gold standard of sports simulators. Football Manager keeps improving with every edition. Bring a team up from small-town obscurity through promotion, or inherit the riches of Barcelona and build a dynasty. With more than 2,500 clubs to manage, it's hard to get bored. Out of the Park Baseball. Baseball stands out among other U.S. sports as a business. The lack of a salary cap, the international prospect pool, and the massive contracts are as unique as the game itself. Baseball's more than capable answer to Football Manager. Out of the Park captures it all. F1 Mobile Racing. Not every situation calls for a massively powerful text-based computer sim. Sometimes you just want to borrow your parent's phone and kill time in the back of the car. Tilting a device to steer is nothing new, but Formula One's official mobile game is as good as they come. And finally, Retro Bowl. You're too young for real nostalgia, so try out the fake nostalgia. Chances are even your parents don't remember Tecmo Bowl, the tiles inspiration, but this mobile game offers a chance to draft a football team, develop it, and play with it. Not bad for 8-bit graphics. Next Level with Kip Shoremore. As the next generation of consoles promises to thrust sports games to previously unimaginable heights, I have a plea for designers the world over. To go forward, we must go back. Specifically, we must go back to when Madden did not simulate the coin toss, starting with Madden 15. Preferences as to whether to kick or receive were present, and the animated pregame meeting of the captains was skipped entirely. Hardcore gamers welcomed this change. It gave them more time to concoct a strategy. I, however, only ever had one strategy. Tail never fails. This action, ancient wisdom passed down from my older brother, served me well. I'd say I won about half my coin tosses calling tails. And if I'm going to lose badly, I'd at least like the satisfaction of having won something. Page 42. 21 things to see in the 2021 Major League Baseball season. The Mets finally have something to smile about. Let's see who it is. It has not been easy being a New York Mets fan in recent years. Sure, the team has had some great individual talent, especially on the mound, but the franchise had provided fans with debacle after another on and off the field. But now there is a real reason for optimism. New York made the biggest addition of the offseason, nabbing shortstop Francisco Lindor from the Indians. They also got starter Carlos Carrasco in the deal and signed catcher James McCann and pitcher Tyjuan Walker. A return to the playoffs appears inevitable, but Lindor has other things to think about first. The affable slugger nicknamed Mr. Smile said he can't wait to get to New York for a simple reason. I love pizza, he said. I probably eat some pizza. Number two, will the balls fly? Last year, Major League players homered at the second highest rate ever, 2.57 times per year. Why? An astrophysicist dissected hundreds of balls used in the past four seasons and found that many used in 2020 were smaller and lighter, making them fly further. Last month, Major League Baseball sent a memo informing teams to expect the balls used this year not to travel as far. How crucial could those extra feet be? Last season, the team that hit more homers was 35-5 in the playoffs. Number three, it's time to become a believer. We've known for a while that Cleveland pitcher Shane Bieber has a good sense of humor. Back in 2018, for the name of the back of his jersey for Players Weekend, he chose not Justin. The next year, the pop star posted a picture of himself on Instagram wearing one of Shane's jerseys. In 2020, though, the 25-year-old right-hander made a name for himself, winning the Cy Young handily after a season when he had an ERA of 1.63 and averaged 14.2 strikeouts per nine innings, the best rate ever. "Your move, Justin," said, "there's another Bieber," and looked right in my eyes. Number four, history in Miami. Last year, the San Francisco Giants made Alyssa Nakin Major League Baseball's first female on-field coach. Then during the offseason, the Miami Marlins made an even bigger hire, tapping Kim Ng to be their general manager. Ng was a longtime assistant general manager for the Yankees before spending the last 10 seasons as a Major League Baseball vice president. Ng inherits a tricky job. The Marlins are notoriously adverse to spending money, but the team has talent. Last year, Miami made the playoffs and knocked out the Chicago Cubs in the wild card round, providing Ng with a solid foundation to build on. Number five, angry Dodgers fans finally get their due. The most anticipated matchup will come on August 3rd in Los Angeles when the Dodgers host the Houston Astros. It's a matchup of two powerhouses, but what makes it super special is that, assuming people will be allowed in the stadium, it will be the first time Dodgers fans will have a chance to yell in person at the Astros since the news broke that Houston's World Series win in 2017 over L.A. was aided by sign-stealing using garbage cans. Number six, MVP races. Washington's Juan Soto has always been known for his power, but last year he put up a .351 batting average, topped in the National League. He also led the majors in on-base percentage and slugging. If he continues to improve, and if the Nationals don't finish in last place again, it will be hard to deny the 22-year-old his first MVP award. In the American League, Los Angeles' Mike Trout finished fifth in last year's voting. Incredibly, that's the worst showing in his nine full major league seasons. Don't bet against the Millville Meteor bouncing back and winning the award for the fourth time. There are some things you just can't count on. Trash Panda Fever. Number seven. Last year, the pandemic wiped out the entire minor league season, depriving fans of the chance to see the debut of the Rocket City Trash Pandas, who sport one of baseball's greatest logos. The affiliate in Los Angeles Angels plays outside of Huntsville, Alabama, which is known for its association with the United States Space Program. And a trash panda is slang for a raccoon, which explains why the logo is one of the critters in a rocket-powered garbage can. Welcome back, minor leaguers. Number eight, Milestone Madness. As his career winds down, let's take a minute to appreciate Miguel Cabrera. The Detroit Tigers slugger is the last hitter to win a Triple Crown 2012, and he's a four-time batting champion. This year, he has a chance to join some pretty elite groups. If he hits 13 homers, he had 10 last year in 57 games, he will become the 28th member of the 500 Homer Club. And his 134th hit will make him the 33rd player to hit the 3,000 hit plateau. More impressive, only five others have done both. Number nine, Chicago goes old school. The White Sox made the playoffs last year for the first time since 2008, and they bolstered their bullpen with All-Star Liam Hendricks in the offseason. But their biggest move was hiring a new manager. At a time when most teams are focusing on analytics and new ways of thinking, Chicago hired 76-year-old Tony La Russa, who last managed in the majors in 2011 and who got his first big league job with the White Sox in 1979, 8 years before any current Chicago players were born. Number 10, it's built, they will come. One of the most iconic baseball movies is Field of Dreams, about a man who builds a diamond in Iowa cornfield after a voice whispers to him, "If you build it, he will come." If you want to know who he is, check out the movie. On August 12th, the White Sox will play the New York Yankees in a specially built 8,000-seat stadium near that cornfield. Alas, it's not the exact same field. The one in the movie was too small and didn't have a fence, so too many balls would get lost in the corn. Still, it would be quite a spectacle, not to mention the first major league game ever played in Iowa. Number 11, the Midsummer Classic is back. The All-Star game can get a bad rap, such as 2002 event, which ended in a tie when the teams ran out of pitchers. But sometimes you don't know what you've got until it's gone. Last season was the first time since 1945 without a Midsummer Classic. This year, the festivities, including the Futures game and the Home Run Derby, are scheduled for July 12th through 13th in Atlanta. Sure, it's just an exhibition, but the All-Star game has provided some of baseball's best moments, with hopefully more to come in 2021. Number 12, reloading Rays. After coming up just short in the World Series, the Rays traded their best pitcher, Blake Snell, to the Padres. That's life for Tampa Bay, which has routinely offloaded players when they get too expensive. But don't weep for the Rays. They have 8 of Major League Baseball's top 90 minor league prospects, led by list-topping 19-year-old shortstop Wander Franca, who could make his debut in 2021. And finally, number 13, all rookies to watch. Franca was unlikely to spend enough time in the big league to make a run at Rookie of the Year honors. So who is the top contender in the American League? Seattle outfielder Jared Kelenic has done nothing but hit since being drafted 6th in the 2018. He has a chance to slot into the outfield next to center fielder Kyle Lewis and to succeed him as AL's top rookie as the Mariners look to end baseball's longest playoff drought. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you again for listening to North Carolina Reading Service.
The purpose of the North Carolina Reading Service is to connect people who are blind and print impaired with each other, their families, and the community by delivering news, information, and entertainment using the latest audio technology. For more information about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org. You can also give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. 5138, the North Carolina Reading Service. We breathe words into your life.